Out of Bounds is on the air. 105.5 The Roar.
We now return to Major League Baseball with one distractingly ugly guy behind home plate.
Now back to Qualk and Kelly.
You don't know how you met me. You don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything.
Quack, we had such a good time at Tom's Barbecue yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, so good.
I am that still unbelievable. Reaping the benefits in that I am eating one of the little banana puddings they sent back.
Is that cheating? That was supposed to be for everyone but us.
I mean, I am cheating on any sort of diet I ever pretended to be on at this point. No, because they brought six back. And so Walt and Ramona, I think, each ate two yesterday because there's two left. So I'm not taking it. And I'm saving one more for Ramona because Ramona's my girl and I look out for her.
Right.
But still enjoying that banana pudding. And thanks again to Tom's Barbecue for having us out. Before we get back to this basketball discussion and get into the, quote, human interest piece that Quack's been teasing for 2 hours.
I don't know any other way to characterize it. I don't, but I'm very intrigued.
The first time we've ever used
the
phrase human interest piece on Out of Bounds. We'll get to that, though. First of all, this hour is brought to you by Jana Candler. And Jana Candler Properties, she's putting the real back in real estate. Her business is built on relationships. She wants to get you and your family into your dream home. She wants to get to know your family, build that relationship, and find the home that you guys need and want. So give her a call, 864-313-6990. Check her out on Facebook, Jana Candler Properties. Lots of good stuff on that Facebook page. She's a member of the Totes team at Berkshire Hathaway. See Dan Joyner. 3 million in total sales since May. She has been killing the game. Mostly Greenville area. Can also find you something in Clemson, on the lake, all that good stuff. So again, that's Jana Candler Properties. Give her a call at 864-313-6990.
Thanks very much, Kelly. Hour number three of the program here, Out of Bounds. Walt Deptula and Road Rage will be live at Twin Peaks today. So tune in for that. That should be a lot of fun. And go see him. Always a good time there at Twin Peaks with Walt and the gang. All right. I've got numbers coming up on the games tonight. We haven't actually given out my 1-16 re-ranking of the teams, but I'll give you where I have each of the teams in the matchup. We'll do the same tomorrow. We'll also continue to talk Clemson and Kansas if you want to do that. 654 Roars, the number 654-7627, the Northern Communication phone lines. But before we get to that, I need to know what you brought us today about Sister Jean. I've not seen this. I don't know where this came from. I don't know if it's legitimate. I need to know more Sister Jean. If some Sister Jean is good, more is better anyway. And so I just need to know. I need to know, what's the day in the life of Sister Jean like, Kelly?
Is it safe to say that you've come around a bit on Sister Jean?
I'm intrigued a little bit. I'm a praying person. I'm a believer in Jesus. I love the power of prayer. I pray with expectation. You notice I love it. But I don't want people to think that Loyola winning twice on buzzer beaters is some miracle that was brought to Loyola because Sister Jean praised the scouting report. That's the only thing I have really bucked with this Sister Jean phenomenon. But in terms of her story, I think it's great. And I want to know more about her life.
There is so much happening with Sister Jean. And when you just Google her name, the headlines are endless. Absolutely endless. And I mean, just a few of these headlines are amazing. When you talk about, you know, what you don't know about Sister Jean. Five things to know about Sister Jean. Sister Jean gains national attention amidst March Madness. Prayers answered, Sister Jean and her Ramblers. Sister Jean, how a 98-year-old nun became the hottest property in March Madness. They're calling her property. That's terrible. What
that
are
is
doing?
Terrible. Terrible.
Loyola's lovable celebrity. The untold story of Sister Jean. The untold story. What else is there to know? Right?
Yep.
Loyola's Sister Jean was a leading lady long before her March Madness celebrity.
Come on.
She was a leading lady, Quack.
Get out of
here. She's a leading
lady.
And before I talk to you a little bit about the day in the life of Sister Jean, what you don't know about Sister Jean, Quack, did you know that at Loyola, she started a program called SMILE, Students Moving Into the Lives of the Elderly.
That seems self-serving, but go ahead. go ahead.
She started a program that connected students with their elderly neighbors. It's called Smile. And this is, someone tweeted this, who I guess is a, you know, a person who knows Loyola's campus. He says, not to mention, she's a celebrity of the highest degree on campus. She's at everything. Orientations, games, plays, rallies, vigils, meetings, and mass. Every day at 7:30 a.m. in the Jesuit residence. She is everywhere, Kwok. Everywhere. So as you can see, she is a busy woman. And none other than the New York Times did a whole story on Sister Jean, a day in the life of Sister Jean, since she became famous. Here's what she does. 5 a.m. wakes up. Prayer and meditation, which you love. You love to hear that. She
gotta
gets
start,
in the Word.
Got to start with that.
Gets with her devotional. She asks for a peaceful day, which at this time in Sister Jean's life could be a little bit of an oxymoron, but anyway. So she does that. Then 5:30 a.m. she starts checking the emails because she has so many. So many.
Let me just say, there's somebody out there is half Sister Jean's age and you're like, I don't fool with email. Sister Jean is 98, and after she prays, she purges her inbox. That's what you're telling me. That Sister Jean is out there purging her inbox.
Let me just read you this paragraph. Sister Jean tends to most of the daily emails that arrive in her inbox each morning, but now all of the new media requests that reach her are forwarded to another office. She has an office helping her with her media requests.
So Sister Jean now has people.
Oh yeah, she does. We'll get to that. It continues. After a sensible breakfast and exercises to strengthen the left hip she broke in the fall, Sister Jean turns her attention back to scheduled media obligations.
What the heck? What's scheduled? It's going to be a crap. Like, when they lose, she's got to go back to a normal life. She's going to start praying for humility in the morning because that's what she's going to lack. What is it? What is this?
So after she checks her emails at 5:30, at 6 a.m., the interviews begin. Chicago's CBS affiliate is up first on Monday, shooting video of Sister Jean in her apartment, followed by a quick hit with Chicago's WGN News, where they tease her about how she has Loyola losing in the Sweet 16. At 8:15, she goes on ESPN twice. She makes two ESPN hits, one on Golic and Wingo to talk about the win over Tennessee, and then on another ESPN show, I think on SportsCenter. Then she naps a little bit, you know, gets some lunch. And she's back to answering email. She said that she has about 300 emails waiting for her just on Monday after the Sweet 16. She says she reads each one and tries to respond to the one she can. A few of the emails alert her to the growing number of mentions and memes of her on Twitter. She does not have her own social media accounts, but she says that she wants to see it all. So I wonder if she saw the one where it's her in a wheelchair dunking on the Tennessee player. I really hope she saw that one.
I hope somebody sent it to her also. If not, then she needs to delete her email because it's not working.
Right.
Somebody's got to send that to her.
This was her Monday after the Sweet 16. So at 4 o'clock, she goes on ESPN again. So three ESPN hits in one day for Sister Jean. She has a one-on-one sit-down with Michelle Steele in her apartment.
Okay,
talking about all sorts
of
stuff. And during the interview, she said that she started scouting Cincinnati when they were up 20. But because they came back, she really hasn't had time to scout Nevada fully. So she's getting on that. But it's tough because she thought Cincinnati was going to win. After that ESPN interview, she has another CBS interview. Then at 6:30 p.m., this is what it says. 6:30 p.m., keeping things fresh. She has a Skype interview with NBC's Access. And talks about, you know, her newfound fame. Finally, at 10:30, she gets ready to go to bed. She has to do a Good Morning America hit the next day, so she has to go to sleep and get fresh and make sure her hair is done and all that. And it says that she really does have people now, Kwok. She will travel with the Loyola travel party to Atlanta.
Yes.
So she already did that. It will include what is now called Team Sister Jean. Tom Hitcho, a senior AD who acts as her de facto bodyguard and wheelchair driver. And then Joan Holden, the director of Loyola's Wellness Center, who is her personal nurse on the road. She has people.
She has people.
Sister Jean has people.
Now, that's more like caretaker people than like organized media requests are like, that'll
a
be all for Sister Jean.
And a wheelchair
Sister
driver.
Sister Jean needs to rest. Let's leave her alone. All right, paparazzi, let's go home. Time for Sister Jean's nap. You know, like all that stuff.
This is so nice, though, at the end. It says, before her head hits the pillow on Monday, Sister Jean has one last obligation. As always, she thanks God for the peace in her day and asks that he grants her some more tomorrow.
How about that?
How can you not love her? She's
amazing. What a day for Sister Jean.
She's amazing.
Well done. You know what? I like it. I like it.
She's amazing.
Cat Daddy says it's official. She isn't the chaplain. She is the captain. Maybe even an assistant coach.
I still can't get over that Sandy thought it said captain and not chaplain.
Oh, boy. Okay. So before we get back to the bracket, and I've got numbers for all these matchups and ways to break them down and all this. Here's a football story that I found interesting. And in fact, it's two football stories. Real quick, college football. Okay. I'm looking on ESPN just to see, like, this week I feel a little bit behind, but that day of travel, like the baseball, and I just feel a little behind. Like they caught the guy who was putting packages on porches in Austin and blowing them up. Like they caught him. I didn't know. Like I'm just totally out of the loop and I'm behind. I'm trying to catch up.
Thank God they caught him. Thank God.
That was real scary.
I'm going home a week from today.
Yikes. Like fam's okay.
Everybody's good.
All right. So, with that said, I'm just trying to kind of catch up. And this headline catches mine. I'm just going to read you a little excerpt. Taggart's first FSU practice sets different tone.
You don't say.
Okay. Now, that's a good AP story, okay? I'll just read you a few lines. Willie Taggart's first practice at Florida State on Wednesday definitely had a different tone compared to his predecessor. It also began a lot earlier. The practice fields adjacent to Doe Campbell Stadium were abuzz with the sounds of AC/DC, Wiz Khalifa, and Blake Shelton. Who's picking out this
okay.
playbook? Spotify. During the morning workouts instead of assistants yelling during the middle of the afternoon. So notice they contrasted AC/DC, Wiz Khalifa, and Blake Shelton during the morning workouts instead of, in other words, because Jimbo's not here, we don't have this, assistants yelling during the middle of the afternoon. The first practice was also at a quicker pace with 5-minute instruction periods instead of the 10-minute periods that were common under Jimbo Fisher. Taggart wants to see the Seminoles play fast and not worry about making mistakes, blah, blah, blah. He said he's doing a lot of coaching in the film room. The changes have received rave reviews from the players. So they've received rave reviews from the players. Then there's a quote that kind of catches my attention here by Jimbo Fisher where, and I've not heard this, and in fact, I'm a little bit surprised that I haven't heard this yet. It says, Fisher now refers to the school he led to the 2013 National Championship, Florida State, as, quote, the other place. While Florida State president John Thrasher, this is interesting, like, don't let the door hitch on the way out. John Thrasher has said in a couple speeches to groups that he no longer holds his wallet when walking by the football offices. That's very interesting. Very, very interesting. He says, Willie Taggart was on to say, like, he wants to have fun, I think that's all that really, I mean, that's all that really mattered there. So, like, other than the quote from the president where he's like, he no longer holds his wallet while walking by the football offices, and Jimbo saying that Florida State's the other place.
Okay, I was on the phone.
Yeah.
What does that mean? He no longer holds his wallet?
Yeah, while walking by the, in other words, Jimbo's trying to take his money. That's what it means. Okay.
Okay, I get that.
All right, so here, Taggart's, but again, the headline, first headline, ESPN's college football, but Taggart's first FSU practice has different tone. Music, right. Not assistant yelling, blah, blah, blah. Third headline, you know what it says? Fisher put stamp on A&M in first spring practice.
I was going to say, okay. Did you hear what they're saying about Jimbo Fisher and A&M? Because I heard a similar story. I read it that Jimbo Fisher is really teaching, and he's hands-on with his guys, and he's just coaching them up.
All right, so this Florida State story is like, music good, assistants yelling bad. 5-minute periods good, 10-minute periods bad. Content and happy coaches good, greedy, money grubbing, grabby coaches bad. Listen to the grabby, like for the wallet. Kelly, unbelievable.
I'm supposed to be
the one with a mind in the gutter.
No. I'm just saying you don't want to be throwing out allegations grabby. Because we live in the time.
Well, that's true. Me too. All right, from College Station, here's the story. Only one practice into the Jimbo Fisher. I mean, some of this is just ridiculous. Only one practice in the Jimbo Fisher era. It's clear things are going to be different at Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right. So different.
Whether it's the atmosphere, style of play, or something as simple as a quarterback center exchange, the Aggies' new head coach is already putting his stamp on the program.
The quarterback center exchange is different?
Like, we're removing all this horrible stuff from Florida State, and Willie Taggart's doing it his way, and it's so much better, right? That's what we just read. Then I'm going to skip some things. When the team took the practice fields for the first time under Fisher, the national championship winning coach, whom Texas A&M Brad Lowe from Florida State, a 10-year, $75 million contract, blah, 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 there was no music. Previously a staple in the past 6 years under former coach Kevin Sumlin, only the sound of coaches shouting instruction, praise, or criticism with plenty of colorful language mixed in. I'm not exaggerating this at all. They're like, well, you know, Kevin Sumlin was a music guy, but hey, the coaches are shouting. Before
so
it was
coaches
like,
shouting at A&M,
what a breath of
good.
Fresh air. Wiz Khalifa, less yelling. Then it says this. Roughly 15 minutes passed before a quarterback threw a pass in practice. Notice how they're like, oh, last year felt like chores. This is like, I've heard stories about Oliver Purnell where he would go like multiple practices before the start of the year with like no one touching a basketball because they're working on defensive fundamentals and stuff like that. He talks about tight ends, blah, blah, blah. They're talking about snaps under center. And talking about how better in shape they are. But I just thought it was interesting. You know, headline one, Taggart's first FSU practice sets different tone. And all these bad things are removed from the program. And then you go to Texas A&M and literally, like, all of the things that were just removed from Florida State that are so bad are, like, the best thing ever at A&M.
It just shows you can spin it however you want. However you want.
I just think it's so funny.
That is so ridiculous.
10-minute periods, less than 5-minute periods. Jimbo Fisher's like, we work hard. We work hard. We work a lot.
And Willie Taggart's the young, fun, energetic coach. And Jimbo's just keeping, you know, they're just going to work so hard.
Exactly.
No music. No music here in College Station.
That was an ESPN staff report. The first one was an AP story. This was a Sam Kahn Jr., who's actually on ESPN staff, the Jimbo Fisher one.
That's hilarious.
I just thought that the synergy there was interesting. Jimbo's
very
so bad.
Good. I enjoyed
you read
that.
One and like, Jimbo, man, I don't know how anybody ever came to work with this guy. And then you're like, A&M is becoming this. Oh, no. But they're like, love it. They love that.
Does Jimbo walk into the facility every day on that same red carpet that he walked off the plane with the band playing? Is he greeted like a dictator of a small nation every time he enters work in College Station? Like he was when he landed there.
Did they like bow and curtsy to him?
Right. I'm assuming they do.
Because
that's how they greeted him when he arrived.
That scene reminds me a little bit of like, have you ever seen old movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Like when they fly the kite. You never seen that?
I can't say
like
I
when
have.
They fly to the, it's like a made up country in Europe with like monarchs and stuff. And they, like the way they greet people there is how they greeted Jimbo. Really,
Your Highness,
really interesting.
The Sovereign. That's Jimbo.
We have two bits of coaching news and we come back. Also numbers and analysis and picks for the games tonight. We'll tell you our favorite ones, too, like whether we're intrigued about these or not. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
The third annual Seneca High School Athletic Department Bass Fishing Tournament will be held at Green Pond Landing on Lake Hardwell on Saturday, March 24th. The entry fee is $100 per boat if registered by March 22nd, 2 days before the event. Cash prizes will be awarded to the top 5 finishers with $1,700 going to the winner. The tournament sponsored by Oxford Farm and Anderson. 20% of the proceeds will be donated to Maine Solutions, a therapeutic riding program for children. Contact Jan Radford or Jamie Wooten at Seneca High School to register.
It's auction time. Johnny King Auctioneers returns to Anderson at 115 Old Denver Road on Saturday, March 24th, selling farm and construction equipment, vehicles, tools, and more. Preview will be March 23rd from 12 until 5 p.m. Anybody can buy or sell. If you wish to sell, call 554-0929. Visit jkauctions.com for all auction info, bid live or online. That's Johnny King Auctioneers, bringing buyers and sellers together in Anderson on Saturday, March 24th. Go Tigers! She's real
fine, my 409. Spring has sprung and it's time to travel. Why not travel on a set of Yokohama radial tires from Steve's Tire and Service in Easley? Steve's Tire and Service would also like to tell you that April 1st through 30th, you have the chance to earn up to a $70 mail-in rebate with the purchase of a set of 4 Yokohama Geolander, Invigor, Ascend, or Advance Series tires. That means you can save money on a wonderful set of tires. Stop by or give Steve's Tire and Service in Easley a call at 859-1361.
Hey, everybody. Have you heard the news? Diamonds and Gold Direct has been voted the best jewelry store in Anderson for the third year in a row. The people of Anderson know a great jewelry store, and by stopping by, you'll see why everybody voted for Diamonds and Gold Direct. Great price, great selection, and great service made us number one. Located in the Belvedere Plaza, across the street from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Aqua Pool Care in Anderson can transform your backyard into a relaxing and fun-filled paradise with a pool to fit your lifestyle. What better way to enjoy the summer with family and friends than with a customized in-ground pool from Aqua Pool Care? And if you sign up in March, you will get a free salt system. That's right, a free salt system if you sign up in March. Don't be on that two-month waiting list. Enjoy your new pool now. Call them at 508-1885 or online at aquapoolcarellc.com and have fun.
Tired of your outdoor power equipment breaking down? You thought you'd save money at a big box store, only to find out that what you bought didn't last. They don't offer maintenance and repairs in-house. They don't have the parts you need, and they don't have your local Husqvarna dealer's expertise. Easley Lawn and Garden is your source for the complete line of Husqvarna riders, mowers, chainsaws, trimmers, blowers, and more. For commercial or residential equipment, they're experts who will save you money. Husqvarna has been around since 1689. That is longevity you can trust. Like Easley Lawn and Garden. Invest in Husqvarna equipment from Easley Lawn and Garden. Husqvarna offers many options, so whether you're a homeowner or a commercial lawn company, Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna dealer for nearly 40 years, veteran and family owned and operated, 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley, online at easleylawn.com.
Relax. We're all in with our Founders Federal Credit Union Clemson debit card. If you bleed orange and purple and want to show your team spirit, get your Founders Clemson debit card. Visit our Clemson office to get your debit card today. Or call 1-800-845-1614 to order your card and have it shipped directly to you. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Go Tigers! Founders is a proud sponsor of Clemson University. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
If you love everything Clemson, then you need to know about Lakeside Lodge of Clemson. It's a new condo resort under development on Lake Hartwell, right across from Clemson University. It combines the best parts of owning a place on the lake with the amenities of a hotel, such as housekeeping, great food, and other services. Plus, you can rent your condo when you're not using it. And did I mention that it's on the lake? Go to LakesideLodgeClemson.com to find out more.
On the quirky side, it's Out of Bounds.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball.
Now, back to William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
It's too hard to sleep. I got the sheets on the floor, nothing on me. And I can't take it no more, it's 100 degrees. I got 1 foot out the door, where are my keys? Gotta leave, yeah. In the back of the cab, I took the drive ahead of time. Get me the fast.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Last couple segments, we're talking brackets from tonight. We're talking a little bit of NCAA basketball tournament. 654 Roar is the number you want to get in on the Northern Communication phone lines. We'll let you know who we think's going to win. If we're even really, if we're even really interested in some of these games, which I think is a legitimate. I mean, I think it's a legitimate concern that a couple of these are going to be sort of snooze fest a little bit. And some of the, I've got some interesting numbers on, one interesting number in all four games. All right, so a little bit of a little bit of an extended crunch the numbers look. Kelly's got numbers as well for these games tonight. According to 538, this is very interesting. You know, we've talked about before how in terms of probability, I would suggest that a 60-40 game is sort of a toss-up. Anything inside 60-40 is a toss-up, even though one might be a slight favorite. You're talking about basically a coin flip. According to 538, only two of the eight games are inside that 60-40 margin in this Sweet 16, and both of them are tonight, and both of them are in the early window. They give Nevada a 51% chance of beating Loyola. Michigan a 52% chance of beating Texas A&M. Then it's Kentucky 71% and Gonzaga 72% of winning their respective games. Then you go to tomorrow. They got Kansas at 73%, Villanova at 70%, Duke at 85%, and then Purdue at 62%. So tomorrow is the one where, I guess, the chalk or the higher seeds maybe have the best chance of advancing according to 538. KenPom is there's a little more balance in the KenPom rankings here. So I'm looking at today. I mean, they give Nevada 57% chance, then Michigan 62%, Kentucky 64%, Gonzaga 69%. And then tomorrow, they give Kansas 54%. So they're giving Clemson a little better shot than 538 is. Actually, a lot of better. 20% is pretty significant. They've made that game basically a coin flip. Then Purdue's at 61%, essentially agreeing with 538. And then you get Villanova at 73% and Duke at 81%. Now, I've said I think 538's been a little more reliable in this tournament because I think they, you know, rather than just using a number, they kind of have some different things working in their favor. They use, you know, current rosters. They understand that some of the players have changed, some of the injuries and inconsistencies, things of that nature, maybe a little more pronounced in a tournament. So I give them a little more leeway there. Let's start with the first game tonight, Kelly. Loyola and Nevada. 7:07 tip, CBS in Atlanta, the Phillips Arena. What is your interest level for this game? This seems like the most boring of the games.
It does. But as someone who must support Sister Jean in all her endeavors, I think there is some intrigue for me in that regard. But also, this game to me, I think, is going to be more fun than Kentucky-Kansas State.
Okay.
Because these are not two name brand teams. These are not two teams that you think, oh, shoot, Loyola's playing? I got to turn the TV on. You don't think that. But Nevada's a fun team to watch. They have the Martin twins, who are two really good players who used to play at NC State, who can really score it. They are a team that is literally never out of a game. They're clutch. Musselman is fun. Their head coach, he's a reason to watch. And Nevada has trailed at halftime in five straight games by an average of 12 points, and they're still dancing. So Nevada's fun. And then Loyola, I think Loyola is the team that most represents the Cinderella in this tournament. So people want to watch that too. This game turns the needle for me a little bit, Loyola and Nevada.
Okay. I think this is a fun game. And in fact, what you just said about Nevada is my number.
Darn it. Okay, I'm afraid I'm going to do that, so I'll let you say numbers.
No,
first.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit different. I would imagine that we probably won't have the same, take on these. I'm going to imagine that. The lowest win probability for Nevada. What do you think it was? The lowest win probability at any point in their game Sunday against Cincinnati.
Like 1%?
0.4%. Yeah. Okay. Before that, against Texas, it was 11%. And both of those were second half, about the midway point of the second half before Nevada started their comebacks, their respective comebacks. This is a battle of a this will be the first time that Nevada is actually expected to win. And even if it's just a very slight margin that they're expected to win. And so you would think that Nevada would be playing from ahead. You know, sometimes it's when you're up by 20, it can be more comfortable being the team behind. Brad Brynell talks about that a lot. Like when you build a big lead, the team behind has to take some chances that they wouldn't ordinarily take. And if they work, you can come back in the game.
Nothing to lose.
It works against a favorite. Exactly. So Nevada has done that down double digits late to Texas, and down 22 was the max against Cincinnati late, and with a 0.4% chance of winning. Loyola, meanwhile, they got up early against Miami, and Miami came back and they ended up having a comeback at the end, but they spent a lot of that game as the favorite or ahead. Similar thing happened against Tennessee, where they were down early. They got down 15-6 or something like that. Where they were down big in the first 4 minutes, they gave up 15 points. They adjusted, and they spent most of the second half ahead. So Loyola has spent a good portion of time in this tournament ahead in games, even as an 11 seed. It was early against Miami and ended up winning at the Horn. It was late against Tennessee and ended up winning at the Horn. Both times.
It feels like with both Nevada and Loyola that something has to give, right? Because Nevada's been down in both of these games. They've trailed at halftime. They've come back. Loyola's won on two buzzer beaters. So something has to give here. One team is not going to be able to create to continue that trend. That's why I really like this game. I'm intrigued.
It's clear. Would you agree with this? It's clear that, by and large, Nevada's route to get here has been more difficult than Loyola's route to get here.
I don't know if that's clear. Loyola beat two Power 5 teams.
I mean, I guess so.
Loyola beat Miami and Tennessee.
I guess so. I guess I'm thinking Nevada had to come back in those games as well.
Loyola arguably has the two best wins of any team in this tournament.
As an 11 over a 6.
Not forget the seeding. I'm talking just caliber of the opponent. They beat Miami and Tennessee. Not many other teams have beaten two Power 5 teams. I don't know if anyone
else
has.
That's true. I think we can overstate the Power 5. Like if Ohio State had beaten Gonzaga, that's not a Power 5. But
Miami was the 3 seed in the ACC tournament. And Tennessee was, they shared the regular season title in the SEC, right?
Yeah, and they got to the championship in the league tournament.
Those are two of the most impressive wins paired together in this tournament. Now, Loyola's had the chance to do that because they were a lower seed. A&M has beaten, you could argue two Power 5 teams with Providence in the Big East and then UNC. But those are two very impressive wins. Florida State beat Missouri and Xavier. Those are two somewhat Power 5. I think Loyola has, if you combine the wins, has the two best wins so far.
I think Cincinnati's very good.
Then why did you pick him to come out? How far did you have Cincinnati going?
I had Cincinnati going to the Elite Eight.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, I had them going to the Elite Eight. I had them going and losing to Virginia because I trusted Cincinnati more than Tennessee. I thought Tennessee was a worse version of exactly who Cincinnati is. Tough team, physical, undersized players, playing hard, gritty, you know, whatever.
Well, and didn't Loyola just beat Tennessee?
Loyola just beat Tennessee. And I thought they would kind of closely beat Tennessee, which they did, and then lose to Cincinnati. Nevada, people are giving Nevada a chance to win this. I'm going to go with the logic that says a defense wins in the tournament. And I'm picking Loyola. I mean, Nevada, you look at 538, you look at KenPom, these are coin flips. But they're still picking Loyola to advance. They're still picking Loyola to win.
I hate myself
or
for
Nevada
this.
To win, excuse me.
And I feel a little better because Sister Jean also has Loyola losing today in her bracket.
She probably has them losing to Cincinnati, though.
I think she does.
Yeah.
I have Nevada winning this game.
Why is that? Why are you picking Nevada?
To me, it comes down to if this game's going to be close down the stretch, which I think it's going to be, I trust Nevada's playmakers. I think they're more talented top to bottom. That team is full of Power 5 transfers, and mainly the Martin twins are the best players on the floor. So I'm going with Nevada, and I hate myself a little bit for it.
They are number one in the country in offensive turnover rate. Nevada is. And Loyola, what they do is they really just solidly play defense, but they rely on turnovers quite a bit. They turn the opponent over about, in fact, if you look at the percentage, it is one in every five possessions they turn the opponent over. Loyola, offensively, they shoot a high percentage, but they don't do a whole lot else well. Like, they just make shots. They turn it over a little bit. They don't get second chances. They just shoot shots. To me, I think if they were playing against a better defensive team, then I would feel better about that team's chances of beating Loyola because of how Nevada offensively is so efficient and so effective in maximizing possessions. I don't think that particularly inside that Nevada's going to be able to stop Loyola.
You always say when you're picking some games, especially in college football, which outcome makes the most sense? So, for example, if a 6-4 Florida is playing a 4-5 Kentucky in reality, does it make more sense that Florida is 7-4 or 6-5, right?
Right. That's right.
That's kind of your logic. To me, it makes more sense that Nevada is in the Elite Eight than Loyola.
I can see that.
So I'm going to go with Nevada. Do you say Nevada or Nevada?
I say Nevada.
I say Nevada, and I'm wondering which one is right.
Why?
Because people have been saying that a lot so much. I don't know. Nevada?
Can Wikipedia help us with that?
Nevada.
Can we go to
Nevada on
Wikipedia? Tour. Let's see. Because sometimes they do
tomato.
Let's see. I don't know what that means.
What do y'all say? Get on the text line. I need to know. So I might be saying this wrong the whole time.
What?
Nevada.
I think it's Nevada.
Is it Nevada?
Nevada.
On Wikipedia, it says Nevada. A as in bad, which would be Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada. That's right. Hmm. Not Nevada.
Was I right?
How about that? You were right.
What?
You know what? Give yourself a clap for that.
No way.
That's really good.
No way.
Give yourself a clap.
Thank you.
All right, the second game tonight, which we differ on that. Do we have percentages? Do we have percentages for who in a WCCP bracket challenge picked Nevada, and who picked Loyola?
Well, only 6% of the brackets had Nevada in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Because of the Cincinnati factor, I believe.
Right.
10% of brackets had Loyola in the Sweet 16.
Which means 84% of people have no chance here, which we both had no chance.
Part of it is you and I, and I think a few other people on the station too, I think Brad did this, and probably Walt did too. We talked Loyola up a lot. So Loyola was on the minds of people. We weren't really talking Nevada up because they had injuries and all that. And because they were playing Cincinnati, that's why I didn't take them.
A lot of people had them losing to Texas in the first round probably too. When we come back, we'll give you the other three, the other three games. Things to watch, numbers, that kind of stuff. So excited to be with you in the Priority One Security Studios. Walt Abtula is getting ready to go out at Twin Peaks today. Go by and see him. He'll be on from 3 to 7 this afternoon. More to come. Out of Bounds, the final segment of the program. Oh, by the way, before we do that, we got trivia. What are we giving away today, Kelly? We got tickets to give away?
We have two tickets to the REO Speedwagon Styx and Don Felder concert on Saturday, April 7th at Bon Secours Wellness Arena.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. This is listening comprehension. At the start of the show, we talked about LeBron James last night. He had 35 points, 17 assists, and no turnovers. He also had 7 rebounds, which is a kind of just a negligible throwaway part of that. There are only two other players that have had a stat line since points were a stat in 1963-64 with 30 or more points, 15 or more assists, and no turnovers. If you name one of those two players, just one of them, on the phone, 654-ROAR, 654-7627 on the Northland Communication phone lines, you win the tickets. We'll do it offline. We'll do it off air during the commercial break. Call us right now if you want to get in. And if you get in quickly, you got a chance to get in and win it. Just name one of the two players we told you, or one of the two players you know. Take a guess at it. 30 or more points, 15 or more assists, no turnovers in history. That's not LeBron James from last night. Stay with us. More to come on Out of Bounds, final segment of the program in a moment.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows the car that will fit you and your family because they are the leader in the market. With competitive inventory, they have something for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because at Granger Nissan, all new vehicles have a lifetime warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Your home is your largest investment. Its value is enhanced by the way it looks on the outside, as well as what's on the inside. That goes for your yard as well. An investment in Husqvarna equipment from Easley Lawn and Garden is an investment in your home. From robotic mowers to tractors and zero turns, as well as trimmers, blowers, chainsaws, and hedge trimmers, Husqvarna and Easley Lawn and Garden are trusted experts. Husqvarna offers many options for you as a homeowner or as a commercial landscape professional. Find Husqvarna equipment locally at Easley Lawn and Garden. They have the knowledge, the expertise, the parts, and repairs you can depend on. Husqvarna has been around for many years, just like Easley Lawn and Garden. Invest in them like you would your home. Your local Husqvarna dealer for nearly 40 years. Veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online, easleylawn.com.
Spring is sprung at Ed Murdoch Superstores. Hi, I'm John Murdoch.
And I'm Daniel Murdoch. It's Ram Truck Month, and we're offering up to $15,000 off new 2017 Ram 1500 crew cabs.
And Daniel, it's on. If I sell more trucks than you, Dad says you're cutting his grass and weeding for a month. Remember, if it doesn't say Ed Murdoch's, you pay too much.
Ed Murdoch Superstores, exit 173 off of I-85 in Livonia, Georgia.
See us for details.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs.
Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Does your credit need help? Call Masters Credit Consultants today to repair, rebuild, and restore your credit. It's easy. Just call or go online and get a free consultation to determine the best solution for your credit needs. Masters Credit is locally owned, and their certified credit specialists will analyze your credit file and get you on a path to a new and improved credit score. Call Masters Credit today at 864-249-9466 or online at masterscredit.com.
The heat is on. The heat is on, so check out Simmons Mattress for hot savings on cool mattresses. Come on over to Simmons Mattress Outlet for your new bed today. There's no better place to get a great deal on a new mattress set with the largest inventory and prices up to 75% off year-round. Take it home with you today, or if you don't want to deal with it in this heat, you can have it delivered. Open 7 days a week, Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca off 123 across from Chick-fil-A.
For over two decades, Line-X has been unmatched in truck bedliner protection and is committed to providing what you need to customize your truck. Truck gear by Line-X accessories and vehicle sprays combine rugged durability and armor-like protection. Lifts, tires, and wheels bring it all together to truly personalize your pickup to fit your lifestyle. Don't just protect it, Line-X it. Stop by Line-X today and see what's possible.
This is David Chupp. Come see me or my son Trevor at Line-X of Anderson today.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
They never lose their cool.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Don't be so quick to walk away. That's me. I wanna rock your body. Please stay. That's me. You don't have to admit you.
Got time, but I don't mind.
I love JT. Can you, did you guys sing JT when I was gone?
No, Zach never played it. It was probably for the best.
Yeah, I know the pressure can get to you.
Between that and me having to do a Harry's commercial, it was just...
Now that...
It was complicated.
This text we got, this is good, from the 864. It says, if you say Nevada, like Kelly does, and what's correct, also Southern...
Southern.
We found during the break. It doesn't sound right when you say Sierra Nevada Mountains. I went to the Sierra Nevada Brewery. Like, that doesn't sound correct.
If I'm talking about the brewery, then I'm probably going to say Sierra Nevada.
And if I know one thing about American English, we will totally change how something sounds.
Oh, yeah.
Like how something's said if it sounds bad. Like, we'll totally change the way we say stuff if when paired with something else, it sounds weird.
We have no principles, really.
No, we really
when
don't.
When it comes to pronunciation.
Really, no scruples whatsoever. A couple of bits of coaching news before we get to our... Oh, yeah, we have a winner, by the way. We have a winner. The answers were... Kelly's like, I'm tired of answering the phone and telling people
there's
we have a winner.
So many people
just
calling.
Just tell people we have a winner. So we have a winner. John Stockton was one.
That's what David won. He gave us John Stockton.
The other one was Chris Paul. 1989 and 2000, what, 2008 or 9?
You said 09.
09. And then last night, only three times in history. Since points were a stat, I guess it would be since assists were a stat in 83, 84.
Since points were a stat, how did we play 64? Basketball if we weren't keeping points?
I don't know. I guess it didn't matter for individuals, like for the, like in game. I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe it's just a database. I don't know. All right. Two bits of coaching news. First, Dan Hurley leaves Rhode Island to go to Connecticut, and I really believe this. I think David Padgett should be a strong candidate at Rhode Island. I think that'd be a great place to kind of like start his career. That's the kind of place that there's already a pretty good culture there. He's got a little bit of pedigree because he was on staff with Patino and did some good stuff here. I think that'd be a good place for him.
I think he'd be a good fit there.
Pittsburgh continues to stink.
I saw your boy, Bob Valvano, right? Is it Bob?
Yes.
He tweeted, the guy who, well, obviously Valvano, he's Jimmy Bob B's Finn, brother, yeah. But he does radio in Louisville, and he tweeted that Padgett is a no-brainer for a mid-major that would want him.
Heck yeah.
I think it could work at Rhode Island.
Drake needs a coach now. Former Furman coach Nico Medved leaves Drake after a year to go to Colorado State, which I thought Colorado State would be a decent spot for Padgett.
I wish these coaches would just stop transferring, you know? This epidemic, this transfer epidemic is getting out
really,
of hand.
It's really just tough.
It really is.
Unbelievable. All right, we got three more games tonight. We got 10 minutes. Somehow we got to get all this in. We have split our pick, which I'm glad for. I didn't want uniformity in this. The next game tonight, interesting one, I think, in many from many perspectives, is the Texas A&M Michigan game. A couple of very good defensive teams. Texas A&M probably a little better on their best day. Michigan more consistent. KenPom gives Michigan, 62% chance to win. 538 gives them a 52% chance to win. My one number, Kelly, for this game. The average free throw makes for these teams in their first two games, 14.75. You know how I noticed this? Because they both are among the worst free throw shooting teams in the country. Like some of the worst, not as bad as New Mexico State, we know that. But among the worst teams in this tournament, they never make free throws. The number of free throws made, I'm going to list off all four games. 14, 14, 14, 15. That's it. I think it's 14.25. I said 7.5. 14.25. Basically, you know they're going to make 14 or 15 free throws. I think the team that makes more free throws is going to win this. Because they're two bad foul shooting teams that, generally speaking, haven't scored it that well. Texas A&M scored it better than Michigan. But they also will guard really well. So I think this is going to come down to which team misses 50% of their free throws is going to lose a game.
This is tough because A&M is playing so well.
A&M's playing better than Michigan right now.
But in my rational brain, A&M does not deserve to be in the Elite Eight with how they played all season.
Correct.
They just don't.
So that this you're going back to which one makes sense?
I think I'm going Michigan. I think so. I'm going to go with Beeline in the coaching match up there with Kennedy. And I think A&M has kind of, their magic's going to run out a bit. They played so well against UNC, and they hit a bunch of threes that they don't normally make. So I'm going to go with Michigan because Michigan has not played their best basketball yet. I just can't. At one point, Texas A&M was 6-9 in the SEC. And they're going to be in the Elite Eight.
Yep.
I can't believe that.
I don't believe
they could.
That.
I'm saying, they could be.
This is my one team that I'm latching. I'm latching hard to Michigan, but this is a tough game. Because A&M, if they play like they did against North Carolina, there's a reason that they were picked like second, third, whatever in the SEC before the year and were a trendy like Final Four sleeper pick. Because that size inside is tough. Michigan, though, would Beeline. You got to love Beeline. I re-ranked the teams. We haven't gone all the way through. Nevada was my 16th best team. Loyola's my 14th best team remaining. Of these two teams, I put Michigan 8th among the teams remaining because they're not playing well. They're just not playing well right now. And I've got A&M 11th among the teams remaining because I don't trust them even because they didn't play that great against Providence in the first game. It feels like they played out of their mind against North Carolina, and because of the way their season's gone, they're going to dip right now the next game. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. And Michigan, even though they haven't played great, they have played solid, and I keep telling myself this. I don't think there's any team in the Sweet 16 that's had a more difficult defensive draw than Michigan did. With Montana, who guards really well, and with that ridiculous, the electrical delay for like 15 minutes in a game where neither team made any shots for like 10 minutes, that's kind of suppressed offense. And then, of course, Houston, who guards really well, played Michigan there in the second round. I'm not sure that there's been a tougher defensive draw among the teams that are here.
77% of our listeners had Michigan in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
2% had Texas A&M.
Most everybody had Michigan, North Carolina.
Because everyone, especially in this part of the country, you've seen UNC, they got hot, they were playing well. It was almost a no-brainer to put UNC to beat A&M, only if you had A&M beating Providence, because some people didn't even have that. So 2% of listeners. I also want to give a shout-out, Kwok, to the username in our WCCP pool, K.A. Swag.
Koswag.
Who is the one person of the 1,500 people in our pool that picked UMBC to beat
Virginia. That's fantastic. Well done. We can clap for them.
If you're listening, K.A. Swag, I'm impressed.
Props to you. for picking your bracket by mascot this year. That's a courageous choice. The spread on the Nevada-Loyola game is a point and a half in favor of Nevada, according to Vegas Insider right now. Michigan, a 2.5-point favorite against A&M, so that would indicate pretty much a coin flip. The third game of the night is Kansas State-Kentucky. That's a 9:37 on CBS. If you look at the projections, Kentucky given a 64% chance to win by KenPom and a 71% chance of winning by 538. Vegas has them a favorite at 5 points. All these lines have opened just a tad bit higher than they are right now. Even the Florida State-Gonzaga line, which we'll get to in a minute. What are your thoughts on this Kansas State-Kentucky game? You think this is a snooze fest, a boring snooze fest?
Yawn. Those are my thoughts in one word. I think Kentucky's going to run away with it. Dean Wade might play, apparently, is the rumor. So that would help K-State, but I think K-State is just should not be here. They just shouldn't.
I re-ranked the teams. I put Kentucky third in the re-rankings of the teams, not because they're playing great right now, but because their path is ridiculously easy. Like, compared to everybody else, that's... They are the 5 seed, and they are the overwhelming favorite to get to the Final Four out of their
region. Where'd you put K-State?
I put Kansas State at 15.
I had them 16.
I think they're terrible.
Quack, name the last time Kentucky lost a Sweet 16 game under Coach Cal.
Ooh. Never?
They've never lost one.
Yeah.
They have never lost a Sweet 16 game under Cal.
Here's my number for this game. 35.6. That's the offensive rebounding rate for Kentucky. They rebound it very well offensively. That's why they don't always have to shoot it. They've shot it better in the tournament and really in the SEC tournament until they didn't make a three against Davis in the first round. They shot it okay in the second game, in the game against Buffalo. But they do a very good job of getting their own misses. Kansas State's defensive rebounding is 307th in the country. Kentucky's 8th in offensive rebounding rate. Kansas State 307th in defensive rebounding rate. That is not a recipe for success there. Also, Kentucky is 2nd in the country against the 3. Kansas State may not make any 3s. They only shoot about 34% from 3 anyway. I don't see a single avenue for victory for Kansas State if Kentucky plays even halfway decent. Like, I would lay the points here. Lay the 5.5. I think that's terrible. And then finally, Gonzaga, Florida State in LA, 9:59 on TBS. This is a game that KenPom gives Gonzaga a 69% chance of winning. 538 gives Gonzaga a 72% chance of winning. Basically a 70-30 game, which seems about right in this one. What are your thoughts on this?
83% of our listeners had the Zags in the Sweet 16. Only 6% had Florida State because Xavier was such a popular pick.
Did we go through the Kentucky-Kansas State?
Oh, yeah. 33% had Kentucky. 7 people had Kansas State.
And Kansas State was not going to make it.
So that's less than 1%.
And they shouldn't make it.
7 of 1,500.
So essentially, if you had Virginia-Arizona, you're rooting hard for Kansas State. If you had Xavier or Ohio State, you're rooting hard for Florida State.
Right. I think Gonzaga is going to win this one. Florida State, a little bit like A&M. It does not make rational sense that they're going to be in the Elite Eight with how Jekyll and Hyde they've been all year. I think Gonzaga is going to win this one. Florida State's going to give them a game because they're so athletic and so big and they have such depth. But I think Brian Edwards brought this up yesterday. Florida State just played in Nashville in their first and second rounds. They came back to Tallahassee and then flew to LA.
That's kind of a rough week.
Tough.
Although you could fly to worse places than LA. Like, you get off the plane in LA and like all your troubles go away, right?
Maybe after you sit in traffic. But Gonzaga went to Boise, went back to Washington, and then flew down there. I'm going with Gonzaga in this one. It just makes more sense to me. Florida State is not an Elite Eight team. Some years, maybe, not this year.
Gonzaga is, I didn't think they were a Sweet 16 team, honestly. I didn't think they're going to beat Xavier. Florida State is a 6-point underdog here. I'd almost take the points there because Gonzaga's played 2 6-point games against an Ohio State team that wasn't playing great. We knew that. They weren't playing great ball. And in their first...